Well, good morning. I'm so glad you're here. We're going to begin this morning a brand new series called The War of Our Words. And, I was teaching the Awana kids on Wednesday night. The last thing they do before they go home is the TNT kids, they come in here and we sing some music. And we have a great time together, and then we start talking about the scripture that they are learning. And no matter what the scripture is, what we talked about on Wednesday night, no matter what verse gets dictated to them through the Awana curriculum, there is one thing about it that remains. It is truth. It is truth, and it will always be truth. It has stood the test of time from beginning to now, and it will remain true from now for the rest of eternity. And so I wanted to start with that because, first of all, don't forget to invite some kids to come to Awana. Second of all, it's good that we learn Scripture together. But if you have your Bible, God's holy word, this truth that is inspired by God and written by men, let's open it to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 is where we're going to be this morning, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12. If you are able and you are willing, would you stand for the reading of God's word as we jump right in? It says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body, and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what we are about to do with your word, how we are going to look at it, and how it teaches us. God, as we look at our words this morning, for the next few weeks, as we talk about the ability to speak words, God, would we have an understanding of what you say, what your word says about this gift of speech? Thank you for your people. Thank you for your word. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we just read James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And what that tells us, and you're going to hear this more and more as we go throughout the series, is that our words are powerful. How do we know this? How do we know that our words are so powerful? That the idea that we can articulate something and let it come out of our mouth, how do we know that's so powerful? If you were to look over it at Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, from the very beginning, what does it say? Genesis 1, chapter 3. Then God said. Then God said. It doesn't say, with a warm, tingly feeling, God thought about creating something. It does not say that with an imaginative thought, something came into being. It says, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Man, you think about that day. People always ask you a couple of questions that never get a good answer. If you could go back and play in the sandbox with whomever you wanted, who would you go back and play in the sandbox with? I said, I don't even like the sandbox. Sand is not supposed to go in some of those places, okay, people? The other question that gets asked is, if you could go back to any particular time in history and relive that moment, what would you go back to? And God said, let there be light. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the entire world. And because our words are so powerful, God knows this. He didn't just think it. He didn't just do it with his hands. Some people say, well, watch what I do. You don't have to say anything. Nope. He said it. God said, let there be light. And can you imagine what it must have been like to be there when something as powerful as the sun got created? Something that we can't touch, something that we can't even get close to, something that is so powerful that it warms the entire earth from so far away. Can you imagine that? That's the day I want to go back to. Just one of them. There's a lot. Our words are powerful, and we learn that from the very beginning of Scripture. God said. Now, in light of what we read in James chapter 3, I'm reminded of a story of a man and a woman driving down the road. They are driving down the road, and they pass a field, and in that field is a mule. And the husband looks at his wife and says, hey, look, there's one of your relatives. And she snaps back at him and says, yeah, by marriage. That hurts, doesn't it? But you see, at the end of the day, not the man nor the woman was able to control their tongue. We laugh at it, and it's funny. Don't use that this week, by the way. Don't say that to your wife. Wives, don't say that to your husbands. The book of James, we have the half-brother of Jesus who is writing to the first century Jewish Christians and to all of us everywhere. So this is not just a letter that doesn't mean anything to us. It is written for them then. It is written for us now. Now, when you think about the text of James, I want you to remember a couple of things. The first thing I want you to remember is that it is a letter. I've said this before and I will say it again. You do not pick out a letter from your mailbox and just read a little section of it and fold it back up and put it away. Letters are to be read in their entirety. And so as you begin to read the book of James, and if you guys will follow me in your text, turn over to James chapter 1. We are going to build a case for the fact that James, in all of his letter writing in this book, you could build a case that James integrates the power of speech into every chapter. Let's take a quick look. This is some of the things that we find if we were to sit and read the book of James in one sitting from beginning to end. You will notice some of these things come up if you are looking for them. James chapter 1, verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. It says, let him ask.
You have to use words. You have to articulate it. You have to say it to God. I need wisdom.
James chapter 1, verse 26. Also, turn over with me if you will. If anyone thinks himself to be righteous and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless.
There is an idea there that you've got to bridle your tongue because our words are powerful and they matter.
Let's look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 3. And you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down by my footstool.
Again, the power of our words. We get to direct where people are going and what we are feeling and how we are directing them by this passage of Scripture.
Chapter 2, verse 12. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. So speak and so act. So you see, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, we just read 1 through 12. Chapter 4, verse 1. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you?
What is a quarrel? An argument? With our words? It matters.
Our words matter. And then chapter 5, look at verses 9 through 12. Do not complain, brethren, against one another.
We could stop right there, couldn't we?
Do not complain against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. And as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord.
They speak. They don't just think it. They don't just go around in silence like so many of us do in our spiritual lives. They speak about the name of the Lord. Why? Because our words bring life. And our words are powerful and they matter.
And so you can see as you build this case,
if you read the book of James in its entirety from one end to the other, in one sitting, you will notice these things come up in Scripture.
That's the first thing I want you to remember when you look at the book of James. The second thing I want you to remember is who wrote it. This is the half-brother of Jesus. He is a leader and teacher in the early Jerusalem church.
Don't you think, how many of you guys have siblings? I've got a couple. Don't you think that there are some things about my brothers that I know that nobody else knows? There are some conversations that we have had with each other in the car, in the boat, in the store, at home. There are some conversations that we have had that nobody else is privy to. Why would it be so different with the half-brother of Jesus? You see, we are given this truth. We are given this text. And we are given by God what He knows we have the capacity for. He doesn't give it all to us. We wouldn't be able to tolerate it. We wouldn't be able to stand it.
Don't you think James would do so much of the same thing?
To take all of that wealth of knowledge that he knows about Jesus, to take all of that experience that he has with his brother, and then to put it down in words. Yes, this book was inspired by God and written by men, and James being one of those men. If you were to tell me how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, all right, just stay with me here. If you were to tell me how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you would not start with how they make bread. If you started by telling me how they take grain and wheat from the field and turn it into bread, I'd be like, no, we need to get on with this. I'm hungry. I need to know how to make a sandwich, people. Here's the thing. We take what is best in our scope of experience. We take all of that knowledge. We take all of that stuff. And we articulate sentences to be powerful, to be concise. I think this is really what James is saying here. He said there's probably so much more he could say about the tongue. There's so much more he could give us. based on his experience, based on the fact that he walked and talked with Jesus,
but he gives us exactly what we need. Let's take a look. James chapter 3, verse 1. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment.
You see, he uses the word we.
He is adding himself to the list of teachers. But he doesn't say, let's fill up a roster of people that we think can teach. I'm being careful here. Let's fill up a roster of people that we think we can teach and hand it to the church and say, here's the teachers. He says the complete opposite of that. Let not many of you become teachers. Why? Because we will incur a stricter judgment. We will incur a stricter judgment. He's actually making the case to not become a teacher. Why? Because you've got to know your stuff. Because if you don't, you're going to incur a stricter judgment. And before you guys dismiss me and say, well, we're not teachers of the law, we're not teachers of the Bible, we're not teachers, look at verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Do you think James knew who that perfect man was? He's seen it. He knows it. If any of you are not him, you can't say this. We all stumble in many ways with this. So it's not just the teachers. He's saying, be careful, teachers. Let not many of you become teachers. But he's also saying, we all have to deal with this. No one is exempt from this. We all struggle. If we were to take James's words here, chapter 3, verse 1, let not many of you become teachers. Don't you think the committee on committee's job would become a little bit easier? Why is that funny? You guys have been in committee on committee meetings, haven't you? You've been in nominating committee meetings. Oh, but let not many of you become teachers. We've got to be careful. The warm body approach to ministry does not do justice to God's word. Let's keep reading. But as we keep reading, I want to go back to one of those things that we didn't talk about in James chapter 1, verse 19. Turn over with me, James chapter 1, verse 19.
Remember, we built a whole case that in every chapter of the book of James, he talks about the power of speech. He talks about how important it is that we use words.
James 1, 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. What a powerful verse. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger.
This is an extension of that. As you pick up in verse 3 of chapter 3, this slow to speak idea, you could make the extension here from that verse to this verse.
Now if we put bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well.
Some horse's mouth has been on this, I know. I'm not putting it in my mouth, all right? Now, this bit that goes into the horse's mouth in relationship to a 1,000-pound animal, give or take, by the laws of physics, this should not be able to control that. But it does. Why? Because you stick it in its mouth, it can't get free, and then you have the opportunity to control its entire body by pulling one way or the other. Why is that so important when we think about our words? Why is this so important when we think about our speech? Well, he goes on to give us some more. 4, 5, and 6. Let's take a look. Look at the ships. Also,
They are so great and are driven by strong winds and are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. Now, I was thinking about, what is the biggest ship that I could think of? And so I thought about an aircraft carrier. That's a big ship. 1,100 feet long. Can you put that into your mind? I don't have a graphic for that one. 1,100 foot ship. Controlled by a rudder that is 29 feet by 22 feet. About the size of the stage. About. Controls the entire ship. But here's the fun part about it. Just because the bit is in the horse's mouth, just because the rudder is attached to the ship, does not mean it has control yet. What does it take? A person. The ship takes a pilot, the captain of the ship. It says in Scripture, he determines where it goes. The person that is mounted on the horse determines where the horse goes. Verse 5, see, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how a great forest is set aflame by such a small fire. You remember the little bear that kept saying, what was that? Smokey, was that his name? Only you can prevent forest fires. How do most forest fires get started? People. It could be some little spark. It could be somebody driving down the road and their chain hits the pavement, spark. They could throw a cigarette butt out. And it sets the whole forest ablaze. And then verse 6. But you see, before we get to verse 6, I want to tell you a story about Catherine O'Leary. Does anybody know who that name is? Catherine O'Leary. The date is October the 8th, 1871. Don't know it? Chicago. Look, somebody did their homework. Miss Debbie, you get a gold star from me. October the 8th, 1871. The story goes, Miss O'Leary's cow knocks over the lantern in the barn. What proceeds next is, from one lantern, 100,000 homes, or 100,000 people homeless, 17,500 destroyed buildings, 300 people dead, over $40 million in damages. This is the Great Chicago Fire. Started by one lantern, kicked over by a cow, allegedly. So in verse 6, you watch this progression, just like the kicking over of a lantern led to all of this destruction. And you get these conjunctions here, these critical conjunctions in Scripture. Verse 6 begins with the word and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. So you go from the tongue to defiling the entire body. And there's that word again, and sets on fire the course of our entire life. So the tongue defiles the entire body, which defiles our entire life. Don't tell me our words don't matter, and don't tell me they're not powerful. Just like the cow kicking over a lantern, it can happen to you, it can happen to me, all because of our speech. But why? Why do we get such a progression in Scripture? Why do we get to this point where our whole lives are being destroyed? And there's that word again, and, the end of verse 6, and is set on fire by hell. What? It is set on fire not by my children, not by my spouse, not by my own doing. It is set on fire by hell. Oh, but wait. Now
This is a spiritual battle. We can deal with this. We can use this. How do you figure, Brother Adam? You just said that because of my speech and because of what my tongue does, I can set my whole course of life into shambles. But you got to go to the source. Where does that fire begin? It starts in hell. It starts from Satan. This is a spiritual battle. What do we know about spiritual battles? Turn over to Ephesians, just a few books backwards. Ephesians chapter 6. We talk about spiritual battles all the time. I think we are in an age and a day of spiritual warfare. And so this passage of Scripture is so perfect for today. But specifically when it comes to words, let's take a look. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's just start reading in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. The schemes of the devil. One of those schemes being every day he's going to set your tongue on fire. That's hard to swallow. The schemes of the devil. We've got to put on the full armor of God. Verse 12, Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. See, this is a spiritual battle. The fight over our words, the battle over our tongue, is not an issue that we can deal with on our own strength. Because the source of that battle begins in hell with Satan. We've got to fight spiritual battles with spiritual weapons. So many of us lose control of our tongues. So many of us lose control of our lives. So many of us lose control of our existence because we choose not to use spiritual weapons to fight spiritual battles. Verse 13 in Ephesians 6. Therefore, it's there for a reason. Take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Now, if you've been around Ephesians chapter 6, you understand. You understand that this is not like a breastplate of righteousness. This first thing that we deal with here. Gird your loins with truth. That's not flashy. You don't look at that and go, man, I'm ready to go to battle now. But think about this. It is not a breastplate of righteousness. It is not foot gear that is ready to spread the good news of Jesus. It is not a shield of faith. It is not a helmet of salvation. It is not a sword of the Spirit, which is all of the rest of the armor that you would go through in Ephesians chapter 6. It is a belt of truth. Why do you need a belt of truth? When the devil has set our tongues on fire every day, why do we have to get ready for this battle every day with the... Where is this listed in the armory? It is first. I don't think that was by accident. To put on the belt of truth so that the lies that come from Satan... When he sets your tongue on fire, when he sets my tongue on fire, the lies that he wants you to spread, the lies that he wants you to say, the evil things that he wants you to do because of your mouth, that fire, that lantern being kicked over, and your whole day gets destroyed because of one thing that you say, we've got to put on the belt of truth. And we like to just skip right over it because it's not flashy. We're going into a battle, we need a sword. No, you need a belt of truth or you're going to get caught with your pants down.
Let's go back to James as we finish this up. Verse 7, for every species of beast and bird, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race.
I was thinking about this. They have tamed whales at SeaWorld,
right?
Mike Tyson has a tiger at his home.
I'm not sure how I know that.
They have tried to tame bears.
They have tried to tame wolves.
Here's the key. They've tried.
If you look on the internet, you can find places where the tiger trainer got killed, the whale trainer got killed, the wolf trainer got killed. You want to take a stab at how Grizzly Adams died?
Meningitis.
Tricked you on that one, didn't I?
But they tried. Sorry, I had to do that. They tried to tame the animal. But an animal that was designed to be free and wild always has the capacity to be free and wild.
Then we get to verse 8. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison.
We try to tame it. We try to get dressed for the battle. But Satan sets it on fire every day.
And no man can tame the tongue. It is restless.
The word there would be where we would get the word anarchy.
What is an anarchy?
It is left unchecked. There is no government. There is no form to it. It cannot be contained.
Let's finish with verses 9 through 12. With it being the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh.
You see, in verses 11 and 12,
we're going to finish this backwards. Verses 11 and 12.
There is a natural order to things. Fig tree produces figs. Pear trees produce pears.
A freshwater fountain produces what?
Fresh water. No trick questions there.
There is a natural order to things.
And you see, whenever creation happened way back in Genesis, and God said, let there be light, God said, let there be this, God said, let there be that, there was a natural order. After Genesis 3, that natural order was completely unnatural. When Adam and Eve chose to partake in sin, that order was destroyed.
And James talks about how that's why he says in verse 10, verse 9 even, we bless the Lord with one hand and then we curse men with the other. And they have been made in the likeness of God, and from the same mouth come blessing and cursing.
It ought not to be this way. It ought to be perfect. It ought to be set up like it was whenever God created it. But sin destroyed that. Sin destroyed that. And now, because sin has destroyed that, we have to fight this fight every single day. That's why we call it a war, because it doesn't finish, it doesn't stop. It's going to be difficult. But here's what I've decided. Here's what I've decided about the war of our words. It is better for us to fight fires than go around starting new ones. If we are going to take on this war of our words, if we are going to take on this taming of the tongue, which no man can do, We've got to put on the belt of truth so that what comes out of our mouth, what goes into our minds, becomes truth. And then it comes out of our mouth and it fights back against the darkness. We put on the belt of truth and we fight fire. We don't start fire. So in a way, we all have a new occupation for the morning. Whatever you do, just add firefighter to the end of that. Because Satan will try to steal it and destroy it every day by setting our tongues on fire. That's the source. That's where this war begins. That's where this war will eventually end. So what are we going to do with our words this morning? What will you choose to do? What will I choose to do with my words? Am I going to bless? Am I going to curse? Am I going to call Jesus Savior? Am I going to call Him Lord? The fire is there. It is within us all. But you think about this as we finish. There are some benefits to fire. You ever been cold? When the darkness that Satan puts around you puts you in a cold place, use that fire to bless and you'll get warmth. Use that fire to encourage those around you and it will add warmth to their life. Fire can also be used for energy. Take that fire and use it to your advantage. Sometimes firefighters even use fire to fight fire. You ever thought about that? Let's be good stewards of our tongues. It's difficult. No man can tame the tongue. We learn that. But we're going to fight with everything we've got by putting on the belt of truth. We're going to start putting out fires instead of starting new ones. As we move into our time of invitation, I'm going to ask Brother Don to come up here and stand and wait to receive you guys. If you have anything that you need to say, anything you need to confess, the altar is open. Brother Don is here to pray with you. Our words are powerful and our words matter. Let's be as wise as we possibly can with what we've been given. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Father, thank you that you gave us the book of James. God, so that we could see how powerful our words can be. God, thank you that we have an opportunity to see before the battle even begins that it's a battle that we're going to have to keep fighting. God, so that we know what we're up against. But God, this is not a battle that we need to fight on our own terms. This is not a battle that we need to fight in our own strength. God, this is a spiritual battle. It is a spiritual battle that we've got to fight every single day. So God, as we look forward to what you're going to do in the midst of a spiritual battle, God, help us to use our words for blessing and uplifting and encouraging. Not for death and destruction. Father, thank you so much for your people. Thank you, Father, that we have a person in Jesus that has given us victory. God, help us as we begin to unpack what it looks like to try and tame our tongue each and every day. Would you help us with our words? Maybe there's a person this morning that needs to confess to you that they are a sinner and that they need Jesus to save them. To save them and be the Lord of their life. God, would they have the strength and the courage to say that with their mouth? Because those are powerful words that grant us the keys to the kingdom. God, be with that person this morning. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you for your word and how it teaches us. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.